kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Dude, that's a weird name, okay?
Oh, Jesus Christ, Predator. Shut up. Shut up. She won't shut up today.
She and he?
No. She's only a couple months old.
Oh.
She wants food. I'm going to give her some goddamn treats to shut her up. I'll be back.
What?
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me this episode is CJ Greenwood. How are you?
I'm okay. I've been playing a lot of games.
Oh, you sound really enthused.
Yeah, well, you know, I just played horse racing last night. What do you expect me to be? I fucking had to spend like an hour playing.
I'm okay.
I'm great. How are you? This is a really great podcast right now.
I know.
I feel like people are going to love this episode.
I certainly hope they do. It'll be a start. should be fairly short one this time. We only have a handful of reviews to go through and a little bit of news that came out recently. I guess we'll start with the news. These hit after our last episode was recorded, but three more games were added to the Xbox One backward compatibility lineup last week, and they're pretty good.
Oh yeah, I forgot about those. Yeah, I heard.
The first one is Shred Nebula, which is like a space twin stick shooter arcade style thingy, which looks cool. It was five bucks, so
that's cheap.
I grabbed it.
I figure.
Second one, I'm pretty excited. Killer is Dead is now playable on the Xbox One.
I never did play that. I don't even know what that kind of game is.
It's,
is that like a fighting game?
It's a good game. No, it's weird.
Interesting.
It's tough to explain. If you don't know what Killer is Dead is, it's like action, noir, trippy, weird.
I guess I just have to look up what it is.
Just play it. Just play it. That's all you gotta do is just play it. Cole dropped by the chat, so hi Cole, how are you doing?
Oh yeah, I should probably, you got me with so many fucking, like, tabs right now.
Boo-hoo!
I gotta go to Beam now and open that up, too.
Oh, poor baby. Poo baby. I have things to do. Mm. Then one more game hit the backward compatibility lineup. Rage.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Not that I own it.
All three discs, all 22 gig of the game, is now playable on the Xbox One.
God, it was that big?
Yeah, three discs.
I knew that it was a multi-disc game, though.
It's still not as big as Lost Odyssey, but 22 gibble bits, that's a big one.
So that's awesome that it's, so that's just going further to show that multi-disc games can make it. So now that we need to just get Mass Effect 2 and 3, and I'll be happy.
No, that's all up to EA.
Well, I mean, they did the first one, and they've been pretty good with it so far, so we'll see.
To be fair, the first one was originally published by Microsoft, so I think that was their call.
You might be right. Yeah, because I remember the first one was an exclusive for a long time until EA got their hands on it, and then they made it a PC game as well.
Cool, my cat's jumping all over my desk. Predator, I'm going to punch you in the fucking throat soon, I swear to God.
Did that game ever come to PS3?
Or the first Mass Effect?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, it did. Probably after EA got it.
It was years later, and it was when they did that Mass Effect trilogy.
Oh, yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Because when Mass Effect 2 jumped over, all they had for the first game was, like, a playable comic that you could do.
Yeah, which I needed to get because for some fucking stupid-ass reason, I was having problems. I couldn't transfer my save over to 2, even though I fucking got 1,000 gamer score in Mass Effect 1, put in 80 hours and couldn't transfer anything.
Oh, you punk bitch. That'll teach you.
I looked it up and everything, and nobody knew what to do. That's what you get for playing on Xbox One backward compatibility with the first.
Did you go back to the 360, import your save file on there, save it on the console? Because I don't think Mass Effect 2 will know to look at a cloud save. It looks at local save files.
No, you can select where to look for it, but yeah, I did try it. The thing I had heard is that it was actually like a hidden file that was saved with the Mass Effect actual file, and so that's why, because it was installed on Xbox One.
So I would try loading up the game on the 360.
I already started the game. It puts like 7 hours into the second one. I'm not going to restart now.
You're a bitch.
I put in too much time.
Oh, you bitch.
Yeah, where were you 3-4 months ago when I needed that information?
Doing this show.
I should have wrote in. Like, hey.
Hey, help. Guys, help me out with this.
I know you guys aren't tech support, but we don't care. Reiterating, you can write the show about anything and it'll be read.
Pretty much. That's what we do on this show. We read way too much.
Of course, I don't. Everybody else should be reading. I'm so unlucky that Chris couldn't show up.
Why?
Because I have to read now.
Oh, boo fucking who. I'm trying to keep you more involved. Otherwise, you only have one thing to talk about.
I mean, I guess. Yeah, but I kind of can communicate with Cluster Truck. Because I played that game on Steam. I did that review.
If you want me to read the goddamn review, I'll read the review.
I'll do it. But,
you know, are you going to keep bitching about it?
I'm just saying that the quality of the show may go down.
Cole's hanging out in the chat. I could just be like, Cole, do you want to read an email instead of this whiny little bitch?
That would be amazing, but I'm okay. I can do it. That would be really great, though, to just have somebody come on to read an email and then leave.
I'll just hang up on you, bring someone else in. Their mic might be better.
They can talk about Ginger.
Oh, man. Speaking of reviews, we should probably kick off with them here. Let us start with the game Earth's Dawn, developed by 1-or-8, published by Rising Star Games. This game originally released September 2015 in Japan as Earth Wars, and it has been on my radar for a stupid, stupid long time. I actually kind of gave up on them ever bringing it to America, and I bought a Japanese yen currency card, switched my console to the Japanese marketplace, and bought Earth Wars.
Wow.
Like, months ago I did this. And then the news came out that Earth's Dawn was coming. It is releasing November 2nd, so by the time you hear this, it should be out, or it's out soon. It will be $29.99 on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Earth's Dawn is looming, and the fate of the planet hangs in the balance. Become a member of ANTI, a squad of superhuman soldiers powered by alien technology, and fight to reclaim Earth from the alien invasion known as EBE. Dive into frantic side-scrolling combat and take the fight to the alien horde before destroying hulking bosses. Earn experience to unlock new abilities across a massive skill tree, then create new swords, guns, and equipment with materials harvested from the battlefield. Choose your own mission path, discover the truth behind the invasion, and save the planet before it's too late.
I had a question about the developer. 1-or-8?
Yeah.
Was it 1 or 8 people that made the game?
It's fuck you. How about that?
I had to. I saw the opportunity.
You didn't have to.
I have to. It's my personal, like, religion that I have to do that.
I'm gonna stab you. Let me get this out of the way. I love this game. As you could tell, I already imported the Japanese version. I was so excited about it. And in chat, just fuck you. And I played it a bit, but it was tough to play because, you know, clearly everything was in Japanese. I tried to struggle through it as best as I could, but to finally get my hands on this game in English made it a million times better, because not only did I understand the story now, but I could figure out, like, the menus, which is kind of helpful to know, and all the skill trees. Gameplay in this game is basically a 2D action hack and slash game. Imagine kind of like combo building and gameplay on par with Devil May Cry, with like fast paced hack and slash with a gun, and you know, a lot of aerial combat and special moves and cool abilities on a 2D plane.
I wish I could compare that to Devil May Cry, but I've never played Devil May Cry.
You're the worst. Seriously. How do we...
I don't know. It's just it's something that happens.
Have you played a game called Super Mario Brothers?
I never heard of it. Like once. I did have a Nintendo or an NES from my dad, and he had that in Duck Hunt.
You're the worst.
I'm sorry.
You're the worst. But yeah, gameplay, it's broken up into missions where, you know, there's a start point and end point. You go through a handful of different screens, killing the enemies you find along the way, collecting energy orbs that you find, make it to the end and fight a boss or complete an objective and move on and continue the story. In between main missions, or in between, there's these giant, like, counter-offensive battles that you can eventually partake in, but there's a countdown timer, and you have to basically kill time doing other side missions before the next big counter-offensive. And you could pick up, you know, just track down and kill a handful of certain enemies or collect certain items. Or they kind of feel like they would normally be a fetch quest in an MMO, but it's all action-based combat, so it's enjoyable and fun.
That burn on MMO collect
quests. Hey, a lot of side quests in MMOs are shitty.
So. Yeah, I can agree.
Kill 7 bulls and return to me. Why?
Make sure to collect their skin.
I don't know why. Don't you tell everyone to kill 7 boars and give their skin? Like, what do you need all these boar skins for? Don't ask questions.
I actually have a boar skin factory that I'm creating.
My boar skin wife is wearing down and she needs new innards. You're disgusting.
She must be a real fat cow to need that much.
Something else I love about this game is the visual style. Like, the very first time I saw a trailer for Earth Wars, Earthsdawn, I was just caught by the visuals to the game. It's like everything feels like it's drawn in papercraft style with like paper cutouts, but incredibly slick and well-designed papercraft figures on these gorgeous post-apocalyptic backgrounds. And just the overall art style to the game is so unique and gorgeous, and I love it.
And their heads are so big compared
they
to
are,
their bodies.
And their eyes are huge.
It's just like amazing. I just see these screenshots of their heads being like,
'cause it's Japanese.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I love the visuals in this, and to see it in motion is even better. Instead of, you could look at a screenshot of this game, but to see like the way the characters move, like everything moves kind of like it's a, I don't want to say like South Park, like a cutout, but it just feels, it's such a unique method of movement and design in the game, and I think that lends a lot to just the overall aesthetic of the game. It feels so unique and so different from everything else that's out there.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I like the backgrounds, the caves. You can see all the individual pebbles. It's pretty interesting.
Audio, all of the voiceovers in the game are Japanese. They do have English subtitles, clearly, but those who were hoping for an American dub, you're out of luck. Honestly, I'm just happy they brought the game over at all.
Yeah.
Which, because I was at the point I never thought it was coming over. So
there's a lot of games like that that just get released in one area and then they never.
But there, in between battles or missions, you can upgrade your weapons using either, you know, you could buy new weapons using the energy currency that you find. You can upgrade your current weapons using the different materials that you find after collecting or after defeating enemies, the materials you collect. You can craft new weapons and armor as well. There's also a gigantic skill tree where as you complete missions based on the grade you earn, you can unlock different abilities. And you have, like, as you level up, you have a set amount of points that you can use to power up, to select different abilities. And it's just a massive, massive skill tree with all these different abilities and the way that they could, like, if you get an attack up, you could link it to, like, your first attack or your second attack. So if you want, your starting attack could be the strongest, or you could split them up across your different attacks. It's such a unique and different way that they handle the leveling up. So it's not just, oh, I leveled up, now I'm stronger. It's very customizable. And, you know, if there's an ability that you don't really want to use, don't activate it.
Oh, cool. So you can, like, select different abilities that you actually want to be able to use at a time and then switch them in between.
And then again, if your level's not high enough, you might not be able to have everything equipped at once. It may have, you know, it may require more energy than you have available to equip all that stuff. Oh. So it's very customizable. The game itself, it is huge. There are tons and tons of missions to do in the game. Massive boss battles. Gorgeous visuals. I'm so excited that this one came over to America. Some people might look at the $29.99 price tag and think it's a bit high. I believe if you have the $30 and you drop it on this game, you're going to be incredibly happy with your purchase, and I'm giving it a buy it.
Oh, interesting. I would think, wow, $29.99 is more than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I was honestly expecting $20, but I'm, you know, I still think it's worth it. What the fuck was that black stick that passed the cam? That was my cat's tail.
I need a nail gun. So I can nail my door shut when it's time to fucking do an episode.
See, this is Predator. Little asshole kitten.
I just don't get it. Like, whenever I'm not doing the show, I never get bugged. And then every single time I'm doing the show, somebody fucking comes down here and just starts blabbing.
Yeah, that's how life is, I guess.
And it's like, it doesn't make sense. It's like, you have so many hours that I'm not doing this, and yet it's when I'm doing this that people want to come over and fucking fuck around. Yeah.
Well, now that we're talking about, like, aliens and action games, let's chat about Exile's End. This is developed by Magnetic Realms, published by Xseed/Marvelous Games. It released October 26th for $9.99. Exile's End is an homage to early 90s action-adventure PC games like Flashback and Another World, but with a Japanese flair. The core of the game is from Australian game maker Magnetic Realms, with art, cutscenes, and music provided by Legends of the 8 and 16-bit eras from Japan. It draws its thematic influence from the science fiction films and anime of the 80s, and gameplay from classic Amiga and Commodore 64 action adventures. The Steam page for this game very blatantly says that this is not a Metroidvania.
I was actually going to mention that if you said that it was. I was going to be like, it's not.
This game is a Metroidvania. I don't care. I'll be fair. It's more Metroid than Vania. Like, this feels like a sequel to an NES Metroid game. But for them to claim that it's not Metroidvania, I mean, you could call it what you want, but it plays like a Metroidvania. It looks like a Metroidvania. It has the backtracking of a Metroidvania. Everybody on the planet is going to call this game a Metroidvania, except for you. And I feel bad. I know you don't want to be classified as a Metroidvania. So I'll do my best to explain it without making Metroidvania references constantly. But it's a Metroidvania.
It's just like, stop it, Joe.
The story starts out where you're on a mission to rescue like some big head honcho son from a planet where, you know, the communications have gone away and you're there and, everyone on the ship is like, why is this old man coming with us? And you're the old man that they're referring to. And it's like, well, I made the call to bring him and it's going to be worthwhile. You're going to see it. Like, it seems like the main character in the game has a really, like some kind of fucked up past that they never really go into. Just that he's like a tortured hero who doesn't want to be a hero. He just wants to do his job and get on with his life. So I kind of wish they delved more into the guy's backstory, but prequel Exiles Beginning, maybe?
That would be a great title.
The ship goes down. Everybody gets into the crash pods. You land on this strange, weird planet, and you have to try to find everyone else that was on the ship and find the guy's son and get the kid off the planet and, you know, save the day, I guess. Clearly, that's not how games work. You can't just find the kid and get off the planet. Things get more involved and more complex. There's a sinister scheme going on that requires you to eventually perform some kind of ritual to enable communications to resume on the planet and to escape the planet. And through there, you know, it plays like a classic 2D action title. Like, it, think of any kind of NES game with jumping and shooting.
Right.
For the
most
part. Which
is not a Metroidvania version.
It's like I said, it feels a lot like a Metroid game. It has the shooting, jumping, platforming. There is large open environments. There's a lot of backtracking and item collection, like grenade upgrades and suit upgrades and gun upgrades. It, you know, there's a lot of stuff to find and a lot to do. There are a number of different puzzles that you have to get through in the game as well. It is so hard to not call this a Metroidvania.
What if we just called it a Netroidvania? Then we're not being wrong.
It is a Metroid clone. Because there's no vania to it. There's no swords. There's no vampires.
So is that actually what... I thought Metroidvania was just like a genre of platformers. It wasn't like an actual like mixture of Metroid and Castlevania.
Metroidvania got the name because Castlevania Symphony of the Night was Konami's answer to a new Metroid game.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why the genre has its name. Technically, they're all Metroid games, but since Metroid was kind of the one with the gigantic open worlds and backtracking and all the other fun stuff.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Metroidvania kind of got the joint credit on the title.
It just sounds cooler.
Yeah. The game is really good. It is a difficult game. This is a game that starts you off without any kind of weapons. And like the first chunk of the game, you're trying to make do with killing different snakes with rocks, just chucking rocks at enemies. It's depending on how good you are, you could probably get your first gun about a half hour into the game. And by there, things start to get a little bit easier as you go. There's still some tough sections. There's no regenerating health, so you have to hope enemies drop, you know, health for you. You have a shield, but many of your abilities or your weapons can use that energy from the shield as well. So you have to constantly maintain the energy of your suit and collect energy crystals to keep it powered up. A lot of secrets in the game, a lot of breakable hidden walls. Some of them are easy to find. Many of them are much, much harder to find. I'm sad because I have like 94.1% of the game complete and I don't know what I'm missing.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That is such a bad percentage to have too, because you're just so close.
I even broke down and looked up maps on Steam to see, like, what, let me compare my map to theirs. Well, I have that secret. I have that secret. I have, what the fuck am I missing? And I don't know what I'm missing.
So I don't know. Maybe he got glitched.
I don't know.
I wouldn't think so, but.
But without any kind of guides, I beat the game myself in about 5.5 hours, which isn't bad. It does have a speed run for under 3 hours achievement.
Yeah, I see that.
So it encourages replay. Of course, there's an achievement for 100% of all the collectibles in the game.
Which you're not going to get because you don't know.
No, I kind of gave up. I'm like, you know, I beat the game. I did as much as I could. Good enough. It's a victory for me. Because I'm not like you where I'm like, I need every achievement or I'll die.
Well, I mean, my completion percentage says otherwise. I only have 61.
Okay, I'm not like you or Shiz. I'm not as big an achievement whore that I need to complete everything.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean,
I'm happy with what I've done. What I've done.
It depends on the game for me. I mean, if some games are just too, like, difficult and I only got a couple things left, it's like, I guess I just won't. It's too much.
Yeah, but $10. I love this game. It's a really, really fun, cool game. It's not too difficult that you're going to end up quitting, but it's not super easy that you could just blaze through it.
Get your 3 hours within 3 minutes. Move on.
I'll warn you, there is a lot of backtracking if you actually want to get everything in the game, all the hidden stuff in the game, because there's a lot of one-way passages, like a jump that you can't get back up, and there's no fast travel.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, it's not a horrible, horrible thing. I mean, the world is... Once you've journeyed around enough, it's fairly easy to get to and fro without much difficulty. It's just some backtracking, if you're looking for all the secrets, can get time-consuming. But aside from that...
And do enemies respawn?
Yes.
Each time you come through?
Yes.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, once you leave a screen and go back, enemies are back, which actually is kind of helpful, where if your health is getting low, you can just farm enemies and hope that they drop a health pill or something.
Oh, well, that works.
Yeah. I am not afraid to admit that I have done that a handful of times. Where I'm like, well, my health is low. I'm just going to pick off this one guy, and if he drops a health pill, I'll grab it. And if he doesn't, I'll go back and try again.
I did that with Dust and Elsie and Tail a lot, where I would just, like, I'd be hurting for XP or something. Yeah. To be able to get past the next part, I would just keep going back and forth and farming all the guys until I leveled up enough to take on something.
Shit out of it.
Exactly.
But yeah, for $10, this one's a definite buy it. If you're a fan of Metroidvanias or Metroid games in general, I think this one's definitely one that you'll enjoy.
Or games that refuse to be called Metroidvanias.
Yes. Next game is called Ginger Beyond the Crystal, developed by Drakkar Studio, published by Badland Indie. It released October 26th for $19.99. A world destroyed by a crystal explosion, a mysterious threat hanging over its inhabitants, and a goddess who creates a hero. This is Ginger Beyond the Crystal. The towns are devastated and their inhabitants disappeared, but there is still hope. Ginger must reestablish the connection with the goddess by purifying corrupted crystals that have spread throughout the worlds. It won't be easy. CJ, you played this one. What are your thoughts?
All right, well, the story starts very similar to what that said. I don't know. I'm going to butcher this because it's been a long time since I've been at the beginning of the game. I went through the whole game, and once you go through a whole game, you kind of forget what happened at the beginning sometimes. And so I'm going to give you my gist of what happened at the beginning. Which was that the story starts with your people being very happy that about the crystal that is protecting them, or because of it. And there are elders who can communicate with this crystal, but one day the crystal stops communicating back with them. But as a sign that the crystal would still protect them, she gave the elders a baby boy to teach and train, and he is Ginger. He must be taught how to be a guardian and, you know, just be able to help people if an event ever occurs that he would be needed. One night, somebody placed a crimson crystal by her, and it acted as an infection. A lot of the crystals had changed color from sky blue to crimson, and were now, quote-unquote, sick. is what. And now that's where your adventure begins. You need to purify all the crystals and save your people. So, I mean, very similar to what that said, but a little bit different, because that's what I remembered from it. When you arrive at the first of the three villages that you need to help, you are told by the mayor about what happened. Many of the villagers are missing, and the houses were destroyed. The game's tagline for me, though, was that I love the game, but it has problems, and some serious problems. So let's start with the good stuff. The platforming in the game is very good for the most part. The jumping is spot on and easily predictable, very easy to just speed run through sections and feel confident that you're going to be able to make any jump. The camera's smooth and follows you well, which is really good in a 3D platformer, because some 3D platformers, like you've mentioned before with Freeze Me, I think it was.
Yeah.
Where the camera was kind of meh. This yeah. game, the camera faces does very well and follows you really quite precisely. You're able to aim it exactly how you want to. Everything works. Although my one gripe with the camera is that it starts you facing the wrong way a lot of times in certain platforming sections and the race side quests. You actually have to turn around, which is weird. It's just weird placement. There are three different kinds of missions in this game. There are main missions in the game that you unlock by increasing the villager's happiness level. And once you increase it, the level pops up from under the ground and kind of like, there you go, you got a level. And then you go into it, and it's all very unique and different. Like, there's 15 main missions in the game, and each of them are completely different. None of them feel worse or like it didn't get as much attention as any of the others. The game just holds up very well through the entire story with its steady increase in the challenge. And I love that. It feels like they paid attention to every detail in every mission. They really wanted to make you feel like you were having a good time and you're progressing. There are also red crystal missions or platforming mini missions. They lack design and feel different, but that's not exactly a bad thing. What you do is you ride your crystal up into the sky where you must purify all the other crystals in the levels by jumping up to them. It's all about platforming, and they can be a bit frustrating because if you fail, you have to start the whole way from the first platform and work your whole way through again. So even if you're at the last jump, you mess up, you got to go the whole way back to the beginning. And that can be really frustrating because I actually had that happen a couple times. And it's just like some of those platforming sections are kind of long. But you know, it's a change and it's different. It's just a one big like white skybox there with some like clouds and stuff. It's not like it's really designed. It almost feels like a prototype kind of level where it's just kind of like, this is what we had an idea of. This is what it is. It's pretty interesting. And you go through, you purify all the crystals in that level and then you exit, and that the main crystal that you, or the mission point in which is just a red crystal turns into a blue crystal and it's purified. I think the only thing that they could improve about these missions is adding checkpoints to the longer ones. Because some of those are really long, and that can be really frustrating to go back. There are also side quests that show up as you beat main missions, and the side quests come in three varieties. There's defeat the monsters that showed up in town, there's races, and there is collect items for me around the town. None of these take more than a minute or two, but they're very repetitive, because each time you beat a mission, there's like 3 to 6 side quests, and each time, they're always the same three. And it's just like, you have different items that you can collect, but they're all the same thing. Just run around, collect these items, and then bring them back.
So a lot of repetition.
Yeah, in the side quests. It's just like, I still did them all because you need to do them, because the reward for doing them is materials for building houses, in which you need to build the houses.
I want you to kill 7 boars and bring me the skins.
Oh my gosh. That is a good throwback.
But I know it was good. Thanks for pointing out what I already know.
You know, at least I'm supportive of my co-op partner.
Go
in this
fuck yourself.
Show. Wow. I also really like the visuals. Like I said, everything is very unique in each mission and village, and I really like the way just everything looked It just, it has that like cartoonish vibe that makes you think that if I was a kid, I would definitely love this game. Like, this is definitely a game that, a kid could really get into and be into it for hours.
Well, I know when I talked to, Andrew from Badland, he said that this was designed as a game for kids and parents to play together.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. This is definitely a very kid-friendly game.
So it sounds like mission was accomplished there.
Yeah, except the one time that one guy said, "God damn it." But, I mean...
Really?
Yeah, there's one mission where you're chasing this guy around. He keeps hiding in different places. And then when the final time he gets fed up, he's like, "God damn it." I was just like, oh, that's okay. Interesting. However, this game has one huge problem. And that is that the frame rate can get horrible.
Mm.
And I'm playing it on Xbox One, so it's standardized. It's not like it's a PC problem. Xbox One, the frame rate can seriously drop down to like 5 frames. And after finishing a mission and coming back to town, and this frame rate drop can last up to 10 seconds.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Do you think it's something where the game loaded too quick? Like, the loading screen finished too quick and it went back into the area, but it wasn't ready yet. Like, some of the textures were still loading in or something like that.
I think that's possible, but there's still frame rate drop, like, just small ones. You can just kind of notice, like, the game stutter while you're playing sometimes.
Hmm.
And I think the developer knows that this is happening and they're working on a patch.
Well, that's good to hear.
I'll mention later because it has something to do with something else as well. The game also crashed twice on me in my playtime, which was around 8 hours. I beat the game. But the same system is really good, and I lost, like, no progress. It auto-saved all the time. So, you might crash, but you'll pretty much go back right to where you were. My only complaint about that is that you can't actually save in a main mission. So, like, if you hit a checkpoint in a main mission, that's not actually a save.
It's just, like, if you die...
Yes, that's if you die. The game doesn't have any punishment for dying, though. Like, literally, you killed the people there, but there's, like, one guy left. You die, you go kill that one guy. There's really no punishment for dying, which is understandable because, you know, kids-friendly game.
Geared towards younger audience.
Yep.
And people like you. And Shiz, who are terrible at games.
Hey, I'm good at games.
But Shiz isn't.
No, he's not. I can agree on that. As I said before, another problem I have is that about the camera facing the wrong direction, which can be frustrating if you die in the platforming sections, because then you gotta take the time to turn around, and that there is no sensitivity in this game, and it does take a little bit of time to turn. So that can be weird. Also, the inversion in the game is off completely. The game starts inverted, and then there's an option to invert it. And so, I actually had to quit out of the game, press A and invert the camera, and then when I went back in the game, it wasn't inverted anymore.
I've seen that in some games where their inversion is non-inverted for some reason. Like, I've seen that in different platforming games over the years.
Yeah. So. Well, the thing is, the X-axis and the Y-axis are on a different thing. Like, but you can't switch like which one you want to invert. So, like, the Y-axis, when it's non-inverted, the Y-axis is normal, so you can still look up and down normally, but the X is inverted, so it's weird.
Hmm.
But I actually had to play it with the Y inverted, because that's much easier to play, as you don't change the Y very often. You can just change the X.
Interesting.
So it was much easier for me to play with the game actually set as inverted. The other problem that, you know, some people may have, including me, is that the game has one unobtainable achievement right now.
Are you crying over it?
Yes, I am. I would have every single thing. I'd have my... Shut up.
Can't, buddy.
Yeah, I would have my 1000G, but I'm at 900 because the last achievement is not obtainable right now. Although I did hear from somebody on TA who also had a review copy of the game that he had contacted the devs and they were working on a patch for that and the performance issues, like I mentioned.
Good to hear.
So, one day I will have my 1000 gamer score. I will be happy.
I hope it somehow doesn't count retroactively.
Oh, it won't.
And you have to play from the beginning.
Oh, you don't have to. I have it already set up so that if it's not retroactive, I can just go in and be like, boop, there we go. Because
nope, you can play the game start after from the beginning.
No, you can play the game after you've already beaten it, luckily. So I can just do it. It's not going to be that hard. Which I appreciate that you can continue playing the game after you've beaten it. Because you can just go back into the levels. Because you get outfits in this game when you save somebody or you're given them. And these outfits are used, they have a different ability with each one. And you can go back into previous levels that had something hidden that you couldn't do anything with because you didn't have the outfit. And now that you have that outfit, you can do it. It's, imagine like Lego Batman, sort of, where you have like specific outfits for specific like things. And then you need that outfit to do that. So say, there's a spider web with an item inside the spider web. You can't do anything about that yet. But once you get the lizard, costume or the dragon costume, whichever one you think it is, it kind of looks like a both. You can burn the web and then grab the item. But there's some of those in the first level. And so, you have to come back and grab the item if you want, which isn't a problem to me. I think that's fine.
Nifty.
And I like the ability of changing costumes. It's pretty cool. Overall, this game will take about 8 to 9 hours if you go in blind and figure things out yourself like I did, because there's no guides out yet. And it's not that difficult. It's just, there's some things that you kind of got to figure out. Like, the very last boss fight. I'm not going to say how to do it right now, but there is it doesn't tell you how to do it. You got to figure it out yourself, which is interesting. And I spent 20 to 30 minutes just trying to figure out what I was supposed to do. Once I figured it out, it was easy. It's a thing of trying to know what you have to do. And with guides, I could see it taking around 6 to 7 if you're one of those people. The price of $19.99 is kind of eh. I wish it was $14.99 like it was on Steam. I think that price would be much easier to swallow and is really suited for this game. I feel like $19.99 is a bit much. But overall, I really enjoyed the game. The problem is make it a try it for now, but when that patch comes through, it could be a buy it.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in it, so.
I liked it a lot. It was just, I wish that it didn't have the frame rate issues, really. That was my biggest complaint with it.
Well, if it gets updated and fixed, you'll have to keep us updated on if it's updated.
Oh, I'll know when it's updated because I'll be on there getting that achievement.
Oh, man. All right, next game to talk about is called Blast Brawl 2 Bloody Boogaloo, developed and published by Mind's Eye Games, released October 26th on Xbox One for $14.99. A fast-paced fighting game where any hit means death. Battle your friends and a vastly diverse selection of characters, experiencing intense combat where every blow earns a kill and skills reign supreme. Brawl amidst a huge selection of maps, each set in a post-apocalyptic future and featuring unique elements that can change the face of a battle. And what's victory without a little victory dance? This is kind of like a one-hit kill Smash Brothers.
I've never played Smash Brothers.
Okay, smartass.
No, I seriously haven't. I'm not being a jokester.
Really? You've never played Smash Brothers?
You know, if it's Nintendo, chances are I haven't played it.
Well, you are officially the worst. So it's an arena battler where you can have up to 4 players jumping around the area, just attacking, and if you land a hit, you kill your opponent. There's a handful of different modes where, you know, you play to a set time, you play to a set number of lives. There's also, you know, they have more extreme stages where like there could be stage hazards coming after you that you have to deal with as well. And it's all about getting the highest score and winning.
Oh, okay. So this game's, I've played Towerfall Ascension, and that sounds quite similar to this. Then
it's just like an arena fighting game.
There's so many of those. You didn't have to specifically mention Super Smash Bros.
Because everybody knows what Super Smash Brothers is.
Well, obviously not.
Apparently,
everyone.
Except you.
I know what it is. I just
you
never played.
Dumb
it.
Dumb bitch.
I know what it is. I just haven't played it. I've watched it be played.
The fun twist to this is that there is also a single player, although it can be played co-op, wave battle mode where it starts off where like an enemy comes at you and you kill it. You collect money and you move on. And then next stage, two enemies come at you. Next stage, like three enemies come after you. And you have to go as far as you can. Again, under the whole pretense of one hit kills you.
Oof.
I mean, as you complete waves, you can earn extra lives. But still, if you get hit, like there's no health bar, there's no... Like, there's a lot of frustrating times where I'm like, oh my god, how the fuck did I die?
So much shit going on, you can't even see it.
It's not just that. It's just, like, I don't understand, like, what hit me, although apparently something clearly did hit me.
Oh, okay.
So.
Is this online multiplayer or, like, only local?
It is local. All of this is local. Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff here. I enjoy the visuals. I love the bloody splatters when people die, because that's always fun in fighting games.
Of course.
I really, really appreciate the addition of the solo wave battle mode, although it is brutally difficult. Like, it is a very, very hard mode. Even the developer suggested, like, if you're going to try the wave mode, get some friends, because it gets really tough. Problem is, all like the majority of the achievements in the game, the achievement points, come down to beating wave 10 solo.
Ow.
So if you get a handle on some of the characters really well, I'm sure you'll have a fairly easy-ish time doing it. But it gets tough. It could get really, really tough, and all you need is just one mistake and you're dead.
Oh, I didn't even know that it was on Xbox. I thought because I saw that it was in early access on Steam. I didn't think it would have been on Xbox.
Yeah, it's I've seen varying reports that it's in game preview on Xbox One, but it doesn't have the game preview banner and it has achievements. So I don't know the official status. As far as I could tell, it's officially out.
I mean, there's one other game that was in game preview, Happy Dungeons, that had achievements as well. And Pure Snook, or the Snooker game or whatever. So there's been a few that have had achievements.
Yeah, but they have still had, like, the game preview banner.
Yeah,
where this one doesn't.
I mean, even on TA, it says this game is a part of the Xbox game preview program.
Yeah. So it's a tough one to judge because I don't know for sure if it's in game preview. Or if it's 100% done, since, you know, it's in the store under releases. It doesn't mention game preview in the description.
That's weird. Ask the developer, I guess.
As it stands, for everything that's there, I wish that there was, like, AI bots to just play, like, the normal arena fighting without needing friends. I do appreciate that they have some options there for a solo player. For $15, I mean, it's an enjoyable game. It's just a tougher one to recommend based on everything else that's out there. I do hope that they add some more to it if it's still officially in game preview. So I'd say it's a hesitant try. If you have some friends coming over, it's worth checking out. It's just, not high on the list right now.
I think with if it had online, I think it would be higher up there.
Yeah,
it'd be like,
God,
I don't know. There just needs to be more like local, but also online, that are like the 2D fighting each other kind of games.
Yeah,
I think those are fun, but it's like, who actually has people come over anymore? Like, it's just such a rare thing to have friends that are local. It's easier to have friends, and a lot of people have much more friends that are online.
Yeah.
So it's like finding people that actually want to come over, you set up a game night, and then you play for a few hours, and then they go home.
I'm definitely interested to see if they add more content to it, though. if it's still technically game preview or not. It's kind of confusing on that, but hey, what's up to Sousa coming into chat? How you doing?
Hey, Sousars 4.
Sousars. But yeah, I'd give it a try, but it's, you know, if there's a lull and there's nothing else that's really out that you're interested in, you got some friends coming over, check it out.
Don't you hate that word?
What?
Lull.
A lull in the action is not LOL. You son of a bitch. Oh, man. Next game to talk about is called Cluster Truck. We've talked about this one before, but here's the spiel again. Developed by Landfall Games, published by Tiny Build, it released October 28th on the Xbox One, finally, for $14.99. And it was previously out on PC and PS4. Cluster Truck is a new kind of platformer on top of a speeding highway. Use agility and acrobatics through insane levels in a game of the floor is lava and on top of unpredictable speeding trucks. The game only gets harder when dangers such as swinging hammers, lasers, and flamethrowers are added. You originally covered this one on PC, right?
Yes, I did diddly do that.
And I remember in your PC review, you made mention of, I have no idea how this one would work with a controller.
I mean, I played it with controller. I'm just saying it was way harder with controller than it would be keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, like, I told you, Randall, there's no delay on this shit. Beam is fucking awesome.
Like, I switched halfway through playing the game to keyboard and mouse because it was just so much easier on keyboard and mouse.
About 4 seconds. Told you, bitch. Told you, bitch. Enter. There it is. And poof, there it is in the stream. Jeez. Oh, I love it. I love the delay here. Love it. Randall, you should do some drawing over here because then you could keep up to date on your conversations a lot quicker. By the way, Flozax Rollins is our friend, yeah. Randall. He's actually, Flozax Rollins is the one who designed our SML podcast logo.
Nice. Yeah. You know what you should do one time? Just for all the loyal Beam followers? You should do a giveaway from one of the codes of the game. That's just like, somebody that's in chat would win it. That'd be pretty cool.
Right now there's 3 people in chat.
Yeah, so. But it's like, hey, we were loyal and we were here, so, you know.
Hey, who wants Cluster Truck?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Who wants Cluster Truck?
Xbox One or PC?
Xbox One.
Oh, shit. Who wants Cluster Truck?
Well, I'll do the review, and then I'll see how many people are interested in, and then I'll find a way to pick a winner after that. But the game, as you know, as covered in the previous review of it, you are jumping from truck to truck, and you need to get to a finish line. With a controller, this game was pretty tough for me. My biggest gripes with the game is that there is no customizability for the controls.
Yeah.
Like, jump is the A button, which normally, not bad. Yeah. Hit A to jump. But you have to look around a lot with the analog stick. So you need to hit A and somehow adjust your view at the same time, which requires either like a claw grip on the controller, which, yeah, you know, I'm too old to design to start learning new techniques for controls, or you gotta, you know, hope that a tap of the button is enough to quickly adjust your view as well.
Yeah, that's my exact problem, was looking around while trying to jump. It's too difficult to do with the controller.
I can technically manage because I have an Elite controller and I could remap the jump to like one of the triggers on the back, but this game needs customizable controllers. On top of that, the game does not have a way to invert look.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice because I didn't
bother trying that.
Yeah, because I'm an invert player. And, like, we covered this with Orc Hunt on Orc Hunter on the PS4. There was no inversion. And again...
That must have made it even harder to play it for you.
Yeah, especially because PlayStation doesn't have an Elite controller where I could just flick a switch and it's inverted.
Oh, yeah, you could just do that with your...
Yeah.
I'm assuming you played it on Xbox One, so...
Clearly. I mean, thankfully, yeah. with Cluster Truck, I was able to flick the switch and, you know, play it inverted. But the game, like, it needs these control options. The game is fun. I'm having a blast with it. It is ridiculous. It's goofy. It's fun. But, you know, it's a tough one to recommend on console without either... some form of customizable controls, or at least giving us inverted view.
Yeah, and right now on Steam, there's a Halloween update for the game. So I don't know. This is one of those games. It's like, it's rare for me to say to get that on PC. I think this is definitely a PC game.
Yeah, I mean, Cluster Truck as a game itself is a pure buy it. But if you were a console only, I would wait and see if they update it with either adjustable controls, or if you have an Elite controller, buy it, I guess, as well. But I really hope they update the console version to give more options for controls, because it is very difficult to play the way it is.
I could imagine even just the first world is difficult without that stuff.
And nobody in chat commented about Cluster Truck.
Well, Sousa's about 6 minutes behind because he's downloading Titanfall 2 or Team Fortress 2.
I'm going to guess Titanfall.
Yeah, Team Fortress 2 is kind of like not really relevant right now.
Tittyfall 2. Oh, man. Yeah, I really love Cluster Truck. I can't really suggest the console version for it because of the controls. The game itself is fucking awesome, though.
So. I know. I loved it. I beat the game because it was like, for me, once you... I want you to play this on PC. Just so you, it's just like such a difference. Once you get that mouse, because it's like jumping is no longer a problem while looking around.
Yeah. Oh, well. Next game to chat about is called Kirinaga's Revenge. This is developed and published by Ricoh Technology. Released October 25th for $19.99. 3D platforming with high doses of action. Lots of challenging puzzles and frenetic combat. New characters and enemies. Play solo or with a friend in a local co-op mode. A 2D cartoonish and engaging living world set in the feudal Japan. Samurais, ninjas, ronins, and more. A little bit of background. Ricoh Technology doesn't have the greatest reputation with gamers because their previous two titles have been Toro, which is a bullfighting game that got fairly widespread negative reviews.
Yeah, I remember that game.
And then their other one is Yesai Ninja, which when it initially came out, again, got overwhelmingly widespread negative reviews. We actually covered Yesai Ninja on our show after their first update to the game, and I never played it previously, so I don't know how Yesai Ninja launched, but when I played Yesai Ninja, I didn't really see a big deal with it. And I even said at the time, you know, I love the visual style of it, and I would like to see if they could learn from their feedback and, you know, do some kind of sequel and see if this becomes a franchise that's better, and they, you know, they improve on it. And now not only is Kirinaga's Revenge a sequel of Yesai Ninja, but they also have the backing of Badland Indie, because I said developed and published by Ricoh Technology, but it's actually published by Badland Indie. I didn't update my notes there because I'm dumb.
Dumb.
But yeah, developed by Ricoh Technology, published by Badland Indie. And our friend Jordan Phipps is the one who tackled this review for us. So, CJ, you got his email. Let us know what Jordan said.
All right. The game's name is the sequel to the 2015 game, Yesai Ninja. The reason I said that is because I cannot pronounce this game's name.
Kirinaga's Revenge.
Kirinaga's Revenge. There we go.
starring returning heroes Samurai Onion and Broccoli Joe. CamNet. The developer, Rico Technology, took a different direction with Kirinaga's Revenge, choosing to rebrand the series as a 2D platformer set in the same universe. The change in direction is welcomed after many critics panned Yes, I Ninja, a third-person action game, both before and after patching. Can a fresh start produce the for the produce? Or is the series better left in the fridge? I like that. He's a pun guy, just like me, so it works. Kirinaga is the evil villain from the first game, and once again, he is back terrorizing Japan and what remains of his with what remains of his army. Our heroes make their way across 10 levels, avoiding environmental hazards like spike pits and fire pools, fighting baddies, all while collecting coins and hidden scrolls. There is the occasional boss fight, which relies more on quick thinking and reflexes rather than muscle. On top of that, there are multiple difficulty levels and a timer for every level. Despite doing similar tasks like running and jumping, each level looks distinct and has a slightly different feel. The story has its typical twists and turns, but it kept me engaged, and I truly wanted to see how it played out once I got started.
Nice.
Anyone who played Yes, I Ninja will be familiar with the art style, as it remains the same despite the game's change in genre. The textures may not be very detailed, but the game has a great use of color. It reminds me of a watercolor or sponge painting. It's quite beautiful in its simplicity. Jungles are vibrant, dusk levels have a beautiful red-orange glow, and night levels have a nice contrast of dark and light from colorful floating lamps. I absolutely love the Japanese setting, and the fact that all the characters are different vegetables. No need for extravagant character design when vegetables themselves are so distinct looking. Finally, I wanted to point out that there's a great use of foreground, middle ground, and background in each level. Seeing signposts and ranged enemies in the foreground, while fellow veggie martial artists train in the middle of the screen, gave the game a nice sense of visual depth. The details do come at a price, though, as every level has a longer-than-expected loading time. The whole game can be played with two players, but those playing solo can switch between Samurai Onion and Broccoli Joe with the press of a button. Each has their own abilities. Samurai Onion can push boxes and lay bombs, while Broccoli Joe can throw knives to kill enemies and detonate bombs laid by his partner. You are limited to 3 bombs or 3 knives at a time, but they handily refill. But there are handy refill stations, usually where you need them most. Throughout the game, there are combat sections which require the player to toggle between players and push the correct button prompts. Kind of like Guitar Hero.
Maybe sections may require the player.
I think so. You just put play and maybe it auto-corrected. I don't know. It's weird. It really made me stumble there for a second. I'll try that sentence again, actually. Throughout the game, there are combat sections which may require the player to toggle between players and push the correct button prompts, kind of like Guitar Hero. See, that sounds better once you've figured out the word.
Proud of you.
Wait, it's not my fault. It says
and
play.
I'm going to make an editorial decision here. Throughout the game, there are combat sections which may require the player to toggle between players and push the correct button prompts, kind of like Rock Band.
Oh, you hate Guitar Hero. I was wondering what you were doing there. These sections overstayed their welcome and were very enjoyable. When you are finished,
is like Guitar Hero.
Wow. When you are finished with the story mode, you will unlock Versus and Horde mode. But be warned, the second half of the game is much harder than the first, with very difficult jumps required. You may find yourself quickly running out of lives. Playing through Kirinaga's Revenge was an enjoyable experience that made me more interested in trying Yes, I Ninja. Traversing the levels was fluid thanks to the mostly responsive controls, and I will be retrying levels looking for hidden scrolls and coins. The fact that it costs $19.99 in the US makes me hesitant to give the game a buy it rating, but fans of the series and platformers in general should try it if money is no issue. Thanks to the SML crew for asking me to review this game. I will gladly help out anytime I'm needed.
Oh, he has to suck up at the end there. Ah, oh, Jordan, that's adorable. I'm very excited to hear that Jordan enjoyed the game. This was originally something I personally planned on reviewing since I reviewed Yesai Ninja, but I figured I might be too easy on the game given, they were appreciative of our Yesai Ninja coverage, and they actually got in touch with me, letting me know the game was coming out and if we would be interested in covering it. And I didn't want it to look like, oh, well, they've been nice to us, so I'm going to be really nice to them. I wanted someone else to give an opinion, an honest opinion on the game. And I'm very glad to hear that it is apparently significantly better than their other work, and it looks to be a pretty solid game.
Although he doesn't like Guitar Hero sections.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
So yeah, good to hear. Good to hear. I'm excited for Rico Technology.
Yeah, good on them for changing what was a really bad start for the company. To be able to do something and make it good.
So I hope that the future games turn out well. I hope they're on the right track, and I'm excited to see where things go for them. But thank you to Jordan for sending us the review, and thank you to Rico Technology for letting us check out the game. And we have one final game to talk about this week. And I feel bad that I haven't talked about it earlier, but I've been trying like hell to get an interview set up with Jordan Aguirre, who is the composer on the game, but nothing is just working out. So I'm going to talk about it now. The game is called Clang, developed by Tinimations, published by Snow Cannon Games. It released September 22nd on Steam for $14.99. A soundtrack is also available with the game for $7.99. Clang is an innovative take on traditional rhythm games that pushes the genre beyond pressing buttons to tempo into a world of fast-paced exploration, platforming, and combat. Let me get this out of the way. This game looks fucking slick. This is a gorgeous game, beautiful visuals, cool neon futuristic style level design. The gameplay plays like a 2D platformer, jumping, wall jumping, making it through levels. But there are rhythm-based combat sections where it starts off easy enough, where enemies will be to your above you and to your left and right. And they'll shoot at you, and you have to time the... I was using an Xbox controller, so the X, Y, and B buttons, you have to time it to when the projectile is about to hit you. And you would... a gauge fills up, and you press the button at the right time, and it shoots it back. There's also, like, a sweeping attack that you would use to hit the A button. And again, same sense of timing. It goes along to the music, obviously, since it's a rhythm game. As the game progresses, it gets a bit more difficult adding in diagonals, and it basically teaches you to, instead of use the face buttons, to use the analog stick, the right analog stick, to press in the directions that you need to press. And it gets fairly hectic fairly quick, but it's a really satisfying game to play when you can get into the zone and you're hitting the directions in time that you need to hit them. Of course, as you get further into the game, it's not just about hitting the button or hitting the directions that you need to hit. The levels that you're standing on could also have attacks forming on there, like the tiles on the ground might explode and you have to run off to the other direction. So you're trying to manage moving your character in certain directions while also focusing on hitting the proper directions to deflect the attacks. And it gets pretty hectic and really, really, really cool.
That's awesome. Honestly, the way it looks kind of reminds you of Tron.
Yeah, it's really trippy visuals. And just like any good platforming game, there are hidden secrets and sections that you could go to that have like special battles or like item collections, stuff like that. You get graded based on your performance in each song. So there's always that attempt of trying to get better scores as it goes on. And don't worry, it's not like you're playing a 4-minute song or anything. It's not like Rock Band there. They're just like short snippets that you need to progress through that section of the level, but you will run into multiple battles in each stage. So it's not like a stage is only a minute long. The game does have plenty of content there to keep you going. This is another game where the controls kind of bug me. Like, I wish there was more customizability. Jumping is on one of the triggers, and then sliding is on the other. The only option is to switch which trigger is jump. Which, it's not bad, but there were so many times that I just wished I could remap it, since you can handle all the deflecting and all the attacking with the analog stick. I would rather just move jump to the A button.
Oh, okay, I get that. I wonder why they just, why it ever introduced using face buttons when you could have just used the right stick the entire time.
Because if you're playing on lower difficulty, it won't have the diagonals.
Oh, well then,
yeah.
What kind of bitch plays on lower difficulty?
Hey, also, you might need to start on the lower difficulties, because shit gets hard in this game.
I guess.
Like, it doesn't ease you in as well as it should, but I didn't play it on easy, so I don't know how well that version eases you in. It might be a lot quicker that way.
It might be better to play it on easy and then move on.
Perhaps. I played the game originally at MAGFest back in January. Jordan, aka Blind, the composer for the game, he was demoing the game there, and I got hands-on time with it. I believe they're trying to get it to come to console as well eventually. I'm not sure if or when that'll happen, but I certainly do hope it shows up, because the game is slick, it is fast-paced, and the soundtrack, needless to say, considering we've played Blind on this show dozens of times over our couple hundred episodes, the soundtrack is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, if a soundtrack is good in a game that's a music kind of rhythm-based game, then it's automatically, like, that's pretty much a good game right there.
So it's a rhythm platformer with crazy-ass controls, trippy visuals, and a baller soundtrack. And $15, I think I'm going to give it a buy it.
Well, that is awesome.
And I hope it makes the jump to console sooner than later.
I'd love to play it on console if it comes.
Indeed. So yeah, that's the lineup for this episode. I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about.
You going to play Clang Music then for the end of the show?
Clearly.
Yeah, I figured as much. Like, why would you?
Fucking duh.
I mean, what else are you going to play?
These nuts. I was asking you if there was anything else that you wanted to talk about on the show.
I mean,
any kind of news or any game that you're playing that you want to talk about? Or,
I mean, I've been playing Forza Horizon, the first one. Oh, uh-huh. Speaking of which, there is a little bit of news with that. I mean, last month we had talked about how it was getting delisted this month.
Yes.
And that I had mentioned that the Rivals was down, that section of the game. They have brought it back online.
That's good.
Which is awesome. So that achievement is now obtainable again. And you better believe I got on there right away and did that. And that's actually what started me playing it. It's just like I saw that was a thing, and I was like, all right, I'll start playing it again. And then, oh my God, I love that game so much. It's such a good racing game.
Nice. Now you just need Horizon 3.
Well, you know, I need Horizon 2 first. I'm going to play through them in order.
Honestly, I would skip 2 and go to 3. As much as I enjoyed 2, the road trip aspect in that game just got so annoying after a while. I think it'd be best to just jump right to 3.
I guess. I know that 2 takes forever to complete, whereas 1 isn't that bad. Although I'm not going to have the money to buy the DLC, so I'm never going to get that. But oh well, I'm not that worried about it.
What DLC on Horizon?
Yeah, on the
first one.
Isn't
that gone?
I think it goes like tomorrow. I think it's at the end of October.
I thought it was gone already.
It might be. I don't know. I thought it was the end of October. Speaking of which, happy Halloween if this goes up in time. If not, whatever. Cut it.
That might be out tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see when I put it up. Probably be tomorrow. So if you're listening to this on Monday, happy Halloween! If you're listening to this on Tuesday or later, fuck off.
Are you going to play a scary game for Halloween then?
Yes, actually. I need to play the game Weeping Doll for PlayStation VR.
Oh, a VR horror game?
Yeah.
That's not going to be fun.
Yeah, we have a pretty hefty VR lineup coming next week between Windlands, Tethered, Weeping Doll, and Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
Oh, I love Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
I wonder if we could play that over Skype with, like, me playing the game and, like, just you on Skype reading the directions.
I think that could be possible. That would be interesting. Who's been giving you the directions so far, Ashley?
So far, no one, because Ashley's been working too much, but I need to get her to play with me, because I can't play that game alone.
Yeah, that is definitely a multiplayer game.
So I either need Ashley to actually take an hour and play the game with me, or I need to teach my cats how to read a screen and talk to me.
Yeah. Your cat can look around.
There's three wires. Which one do I cut?
Meow. What does that mean?
Okay, it worked. Now what? Meow. I already cut the fucking wire. Oh, man. But yeah, a ton of games coming. This is a fucking hectic time of year, huh?
Yes, but it's so crazy to see all the indie games, because normally at this time of the year for me, like the past few years, I never really noticed the indie games coming out this year with all the big ones. It's so weird to be on a show that focuses on indies, and I'm actually like seeing all these indie games that come out at the end of the year when the big ones do.
Yeah, and even crazier is that we still never had anyone say they wanted Cluster Truck in the chat. So now, to our listeners, if anybody out there wants Cluster Truck on the Xbox One, shoot us an email at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us why you want it, and you can get it.
Wasn't the Xbox One supposed to get keyboard support at some point?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it already supports like USB keyboards for Internet Explorer, but...
I really don't know if we'll ever see mouse and keyboard support in-game.
That'd be cool. Or if you could stream like a Xbox game to PC and then use a keyboard there. But that would require a lot more than just, like, the streaming it thing. Like, you would have to act the... Well, that was a sentence. It would actually have to modify the game.
Randall might add an entry into your review. No, you don't add a contest entry into a review, you dick. Send a separate email. And hell, shit, you could have just gotten it in the chat if you would have opened your damn mouth, but you didn't.
So, exactly. Now it's too late. We've already told the viewers that to send a thing.
Now you have to email us, and now my cat is typing on my keyboard. Goddamn cats. I'm ending this show.
Just telling them off.
So, final words for this episode. I am just going to read off what Predator typed on the keyboard as the final words, which is SZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZ